worship our King and to glorify our Lord today. I hope you came to this service this morning anticipating God's grace to abound, and also that your heart may be in the right place to receive from the Lord. Amen. We thank God for the choir. They have sung beautiful songs this morning of praise to our God. And you can tell that the theme for today is obedience. The word obedience. Who likes the word obedience in this place? If you do, raise up your hand. Who likes the word obedience? If so, raise up your hand. I thought I was among Christians today. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We sang that song a few seconds ago. There's no other way to be happy in the Lord but to trust and to obey. And when I said, who likes the word obey, and there's total silence. Except for a very few people at the back who just, you know, hesitant to raise up their hands. Probably wondering whether there's a trap in there. I know my brother there was just saying, such is up to something to trap me. What is obedience then? How do you understand the word obedience? Who is brave enough to give me a definition of obedience? Can someone describe obedience to me from the crowd? Church, no one knows the word obedience. Obedience is an act of following rules, regulations. Obedience is all about getting all these laws from a person in authority, like your father, your mother, your employers, who ask you to do something, right? And you have to simply obey and do them. Obedience for those in military means that you cannot question your leader, but you have to obey what they tell you to do. Obedience is about being obedient. Let's pray to the Lord. So we pray. May the words of from my mouth and the meditations from my heart be acceptable to you, my Father, my King, and my Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every country on earth, from any part of the world, has what they call a constitution. A constitution is just a set of rules that you have to abide by as a citizen of that country. And every person today coming to church, you must have done the same thing this morning. You have to abide by the laws of the country. For those who drove this morning, I'm sure that you have to stop by the traffic lights. You have to obey those rules. If you came on the M30 or on the A4, you had to obey the rules of this country, meaning that you can't go beyond 90 kilometers per hour. Maybe you did because you're late, so you broke the rules of Spain. Going through the M30, you're told to go under 50 kilometers per hour. Maybe you're late this morning and you said, I can go beyond that. But those are the laws of the country. Every country has set of rules that every Christian or non-Christians must abide by. That is called obedience. When you tell your children, you have to obey me, or you give them some instruction to do, they probably answer you by saying, ya voy. Hang on a minute. I'm going, right? Are they obeying you, or are they just telling you to say, no, I won't do it now? And as a father or mother, you probably say, you got to do it right now. And they probably ask you, why should I do it? They'll challenge your words. And you got to be firm, right, to say, because I said so. But even then, it takes them time to obey your words. So obedience is coming from an authority. You have to abide by those rules. In my workplace, we have a standard that we have to abide by as a company to do our business. They call them standards. And we have qualified people that have to do that. Every year, we're audited as a company for us to work in that sector. We have to abide by a set of rules. Fail to doing so, we can never get a job or a business going. Obedience is a word that triggers probably a kind of shivers through our bodies. I want to be free, they say. I can't obey that. I got to be free. I'm a free person. Why should I abide by man's rules, man's laws? The question is today, are you being obedient? I'd like us to look at obedience from the viewpoint of the kingdom of God. That's why we're here this morning. As I pose the question to you, are you obedient? Do you like the word obedience? I saw from the church that we don't like the word obedience. Yet we sang a song saying, I will trust and obey. The only way to be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ is to trust and to obey. The viewpoint from the scriptures tell us that the word of God is beautiful. My sister, when she's playing the piano there, you can see her doing her job, and I love that. Timmy did a good job as well. When they play the instruments, we kind of see the melody coming out of that. Why? It's beautiful. God says that David was able to dance when he acknowledged God as his God, right? And he would dance like no one's business. He would actually dance, not only in the disco place, but also in the house of the Lord. He would dance and glorify the Lord. So what is obedience from God's perspective? We're told that if you come to know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, that is the only way to enter the kingdom of God. So for those who have come to know Christ as the personal Savior, you are part of the kingdom of God. I can call you a brother or a sister because you belong to the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, God is still calling you today to come to know Him as a personal Savior. So for those that are in the kingdom of God, I say this to you. You have to submit your will to the will of God. Christ said, not my will, but yours be done. He was in full submission to the will of God. That's the verse for you. Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, it says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. The phrase people say, you know, it's my life. It's a song, actually. They say, this is my life. Let me enjoy it. God is telling us that we're purchased by his blood to belong to the kingdom of God. And therefore, we can never say, this is my life. This is my everything. I can do whatever I want to do. We have to submit to the will of God. And Christ, when he was in anguish and pain, he still remembered that he had to depend upon his God and his Father. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. When you're subjected to pain and suffering, do you ask God, let your will be done? Or you actually question God, why should I pass through this difficult patch in my life? I was privileged to be with my father a few weeks ago. A man who loves God with all his heart, his mind, and his soul. And the first thing that he did when I gave me a phone call when my mother died was this: how are you? It's a very odd question to ask your father. ¿Cómo estás, papá? But I did ask him. I wanted to know his state of mind at that time. And his answer was very simple. Everything under the sun has a time. And I went, wow, those are powerful words. Everything under the sun has a time to live, a time to die. And he was able to accept the death of his wife, my mother, because he knew that God has timing for every one of us. So we don't ask God, why now? But we submit to his will and say, in all things, he works for the good of those who love him. And we accept everything that comes our way. Why? Because of the peace of the Lord in our lives. Samuel was able to tell Saul this. Saul was a king, right? And Saul was asked by the Lord to do something. And Saul went into battle. And God said, you have to slaughter everything in sight. Don't bring back anything. And now Saul, what he did was, he only did a part of that command from the Lord. So went into battle, but he brought back the king of that tribe. He brought back the wealth of that tribe. He brought back the best of that tribe. And Samuel says here, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering a fat of rams. Is coming to church every Sunday good enough? Thank you, brother. Is coming to this service good enough? Can that save me from my sins? Is praying to the Lord every Wednesday good enough? Is going to prisons good enough? Is visiting your brother who is your neighbor as well good enough? Is giving to the poor good enough? We call those activities that we do all the time. Just like Saul said to God, I can do everything else. I want to do a burnt offering for the Lord. And God said, no. I want your heart. I want you to obey me. When I command you, you must obey. Because God knows best. We know in part, but God knows best. Let's go back to our theme this morning. The question asked from Psalm 119 is this: how can a young man stay pure? Let's not scratch our heads, right? The answer is there. It says, by obeying your word. The word that you don't like in this church is obedience. But God is saying today, you can only have a pure life by obeying the word. Obeying God's word means submitting to what he says in his word. This is the word of God. Thank you, Pastor. This is the word of God. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's very tasty. It's very yummy. It's more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamond. It's seven times more than burnt silver. That's the word of God. I don't hear any amens from here, except from my pastor there. I thought you guys would scream and say, yes, brother, that is true. Thank you. Thank you. I will repeat, yes. The word of God is pure. Amen. The word of God is beautiful. Amen. The word of God is lovely. Amen. Thank you. That is the word of the Lord that we have to chew on. It means that we have to read God's word every single day. It means that we have to meditate on his word all the time. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we chew on the word of the Lord. If I spend time going to do the shopping in all of these shopping malls, I'm delighted to look at the clothes and the food and everything else, and, you know, I want to do something. What about God's word? Are we anxious to say, let me get a moment to just read his word? Or is it like, not today, maybe tomorrow? I'm tired of reading God's word. And yet we're told from his word that his word is beautiful, that his word is lovely. So we gotta listen to what the pastor has been telling us for the past few months, that we need to meditate on God's word by reciting it. Probably we've forgotten reciting God's word. We've gone back. We think we're old enough not to recite God's word. That's for the children in Sunday school. You know, we give them, you know, short verses. Jesus wept, for God so loved the world. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I know that verse. And we've got stuck in there. We don't recite God's word. Deuteronomy tells us to do that all the time. We have to look at God's word all the time. Let's look at Psalm 119. Can we read that together? Let's go. Please remember those words from Psalm 119 and verse 16. I would also encourage you to read the whole chapter of Psalm 119 because you actually get blessed by it. There's a deep revelation from this psalm, a wonderful psalm, and I've gone through that I don't know how many times now, and I'm richly blessed by the Lord by that psalm. We're asking the question, how can you keep your way pure? And Christ tells us, if you love me, obey my commandments. The commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. John 5, 1 John chapter 5 tells us so. The commandments of the Lord are not burdensome. They're not heavy. They're very light. The yoke is very light. You are not bound by the word of the Lord. You are liberated by God's word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Thank you. Thank you. So if we read God's word, it sets us free. If we don't, we are bound. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. It's one thing to read God's word. It's another thing to follow what he says from his word. Let's not be a people that go to God's word only to see what we want to see. In other words, you go through John 3, verse 16. Thank you very much. Someone has memorized that verse. But it's reading what he says from one cover to the other one. Because his word is complete. Genesis to Revelations. We cannot pick and choose from God's word. Allow me to talk about photosynthesis. We all know that the plant needs light, carbon dioxide, and H2O, that's water. When we have all those ingredients, we have what we call life. Amen? Okay. So the plant to grow, it needs those three ingredients. For a child of God to grow, you need one thing, the word of the Lord. Amen? If you don't read it, you don't grow. You get stagnant in your faith. There was a woman who approached Christ sitting by the wellside. She wanted to get water from the well. You know that, you know, Jacob had made a well there. And because she was thirsty and maybe needed water for her chores, right? Water to drink and water to wash clothes and feed the animals. So they go to this well, and Christ was sitting there by the wellside. Christ said a very interesting thing. He said that if only you knew the person you're talking to, you'd ask for the living water, that you're not thirsty again. Christ is calling us to just ask him for the living water every day. How is your life today? Everything all right? Probably say, yes. I'll ask you again, how's your life today? You go, bueno. Then you begin to tell me your secrets, right? If only you knew me better, then I'd tell you what I'm going through in my life. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's time to take off one mask and put on the transparent mask. So next time I ask you, how is your life? Tell it to me as it is. Don't beat about the bush. Tell me you're hurting. Tell me you need prayer. Tell me that you don't know Christ and we can pray for you. Tell me that your marriage is not as good as you thought it was. Tell me that you need to be prayed for. If you're having a good time, say, praise the Lord, I'm having a good time. If not, talk to Pastor Mark and you lead you to the word of the Lord, and we can all be filled by the living water of Christ. So what is the word of God? It is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, to correct us when we go wrong, and to teach us the right way. That's from 2 Timothy chapter 3. So God's word comes from God himself, and God inspired men to write it down. And God does not change, so please don't change God's word to suit your circumstance. We live in a different world now, so let's change the word of the Lord. No, the word of God is living. It's active, sharper than two double-edged sword. And there it says that God's word will actually help us to navigate in life. You can't do it by yourself. You need the word of the Lord to navigate in life. And everything about life is in the word of the Lord. The word of God is living. It says that the grass withers and the flowers fade and die, but the word of the Lord stands for. It stands for. Thank you. It stands forever. It is living. It doesn't change. Like the sun rises up and sets down, the word of the Lord is the same. It does not change. So let's not modernize the word of the Lord. The times are different, brother. Let's do something to God's word. Let's help God out. How can you help God out? The one who made everything. We need God from his word, which is living. The word of the Lord is a lamp to guide us. Our feet, our path needs light. Our culture needs light from God's word. Our today needs a light from God's perspective. It is the will of God. We said already from that verse where Christ was saying, it is your will. So what God says, the mind of God is the word of the Lord. If you want to know God, go back to his word and seek him. He'll show you the way. Not my will, but yours be done. Many are the plans in the heart of a man, but only God's will prevail, God says. Thank you for that amen. So you've got big plans in life. In the next 5 years, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there, and I'll be there. 10 years from now, I'll be, oh my goodness, I'll have millions in my bank account. I'll have a beautiful car, a beautiful woman, for that matter, or a beautiful man. And God says, you fool. You have no idea about tomorrow. No clue about the next few minutes. Amen? Yeah. Sounds strange, right? You know, have lunch at 1 p.m., but maybe not. Only God knows our lives. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So we hide God's word in our hearts, which is your heart, the inner being of yourself. That's where you hide it. I have never seen a person hide a pillow. Have you? Or hide a pencil. I'm going to hide the pencil. Or hide a pair of shoes. They must cost you €1,000 for you to hide them. They're left all over the place, right? You only hide something that is, thank you, precious, valuable, or value. You hide it where? In your bank account. That's why you all have, this is Pastor's iPhone. You all have phones, right? And you have a password. You can't tell anybody about this. This is your secret. My wife knows my password to my phone. You do, darling, don't you? Why not? You must have a password. Why? To protect your treasures. You must protect the treasure that is more important, which is the word of the Lord in your heart. Everything else is irrelevant. Everything else is for a time. But your treasures lie in heaven. You can see from the screen that, you know, I've listed out a few names there of people that were able to hold God's word and treasure God's word in their lives. And the reason for that, they could not sin against God. You can take a screenshot because I won't go through all of them. But Esther was one who could say that if I die, I will die. And Ruth would say, where you go, thank you, I will go. And Mary would say, Lord, if it's your will, let it be done, right? Enoch is the one who would say, what did he say? Uh-oh, cut you out, right? Enoch walked with God and he was normal. Enoch was a faithful servant of the Lord and he had treasured God's word in his life. What was important in his life was the word of God, and he walked with the Lord, rightly so. The question is, are you walking with the Lord today? Are you walking with God today? Walking means, are you reading God's word? Are you in touch with the Holy Spirit? Is your life dependent on him, or have you gone your own way? We know about Daniel, right? Daniel was faithful unto death even. He said, I'd rather save God than man, by disobeying the ruler who had made him a big official. And they said, if you don't worship him, then you'll be thrown into the furnace. What did he do? He went to pray because he knew his God. Amen? Do you know your God? Uh-oh. Do you know your God?
Yes.
You guys are really, really, really helping me out. Noah will know what happened to Noah. People are laughing at him and saying, the sky is very clear. There's no rain coming down. And today people are saying the same thing, right? Your God is taking too long to come back. Enjoy yourself, brother. Take it easy. Uh-oh. Don't do that. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in his Son. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amen? My friend told me, time out, brother. 20 minutes is over. Okay, then. You take home today. What you should take home today? If you love me, keep my commandments, the words from Jesus Christ, whom you claim to be your Savior. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What was his greatest commandment? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as much as you love moi. If you love your neighbor, what do? You care for them, right? If you love God, you chew on his beautiful word. And he says, go ye into the world and make disciples in every nation. Pastor, allow me to preach on that one day. Amen?
Yes.
All right then, we shall look at that in a later stage. You are a new creation, Bible says. The old has passed away. The new has come. The person sitting next to you is a transformed being inwardly. I am black. You are white. But we are the same. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the inner man. Not the out person, the inner man. We are all one if we belong to the King of Kings. So you're a new creation. You now feed on the word of the Lord and depend on his Holy Spirit, not your own understanding. It's not about activity. It's about having faith in the Lord. Obedience is better than activities or sacrifice. Set your minds on things that are in heaven. The kingdom of God is here. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is in heaven. Amen. So those who belong to the kingdom of God have been transformed by, we don't study the word, do we? Thank you, brother. We've been transformed by his word. It is a transformation we get from the Lord. Nicodemus was told by Christ, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. How can I be born again? He said. And said, Christ said to him, first you're born of water, but you need a second rebirth in the spirit. So coming to church every Sunday will not make us born again. And I pose this question sincerely from my heart. If you're not born again today, don't go back the same. If you don't know Christ, don't go back the same. I love you so very much. I want to spend life with you in heaven. When the Lord is asking you today is this. Let everything that you're believing in your whole life, forget about it. Now is the time to focus on the author and perfecter of our faith. And his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you're a Christian, I'm asking you this. Stay close to the Lord. Study his word every day. No exceptions. Oh, well, brother, I know God's word. You don't. Because I don't. I, from time to time, meet with a friend every Friday. Why? Because I want to learn of him. I want to learn the character of Jesus Christ, to know him more and more. So, I forgot a thought. I was just, this morning, I woke up early to look at God's word, preparing myself, and there's a verse that says, from 1 John chapter 5, it talks about, narrow is the gate that leads to heaven. Broad is a road that leads to destruction. So choose ye today whom you serve. As for me, I decided to serve the Lord. What about you? Who are you following? Thumbs up. I hope you're following Jesus like this guy over here. He says, I'm following Jesus. Thank you, brother. Are you following Christ or you have a follow of somebody else on TikTok? On Instagram, I'm following this guy. You're following so many guys, so many characters. Come on, guys. Let's follow Christ. He knows better than these other guys out there. Let's follow the man called Jesus who gave us his word. Let's be followers of Jesus Christ. In every situation, there is an answer. God is God. God is Yahweh. Lastly, what are you filling your heart with? I'll leave that for you to think about. I hope you're filling your heart with the word of the Lord and not anything else that leads to destruction. I would say this. Do not put diesel in a petrol tank. Doing so will cause a problem to your car. So fill your heart with the word of the Lord. If you don't, we're going to have a big problem. When the enemy comes, we can't even identify the enemy. Why? We don't have the protection, which is the word of the Lord. It is a protection for us. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning to praise you and to glorify you for this day that you've made for us. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for your living word. We're thankful that you're the God who loves us so very much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die on the cross for my sins, oh Lord. And we're praying this morning, oh God, that you may cause each and every one of us in this place to accept you as Lord and personal Savior. We ask that your word will find room in our hearts, O Lord, that we may treasure your word, that your word will be a protection in our lives against the world. We are in the world, Lord, but we are not a part of this world. So we ask you, Heavenly Father, to guide us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.